750 for Suppliers is an exciting new set of online tools designed to help wineries expand their national footprint and find key distribution partners. These tools allow you to compare how wines are priced in diverse markets and to know where your own pricing fits within that picture. With 750 for Suppliers, you can work more effectively with your existing distribution partners and easily locate new ones in states where you'd like to work in the future. 750 is offering exclusive 7-day free access to podcast show listeners so that you can check out these awesome new tools for yourself. The sign up takes less than 1 minute to complete, and you don't even need a credit card to get started. Go to 750.com/drinktothat to sign up for 750 for Suppliers. That's SEVENFIFTY.com/drinktothat to take advantage of a great opportunity for wineries and importers. If you listen to this show but you're not a subscriber, you should know that subscribers see new episodes quicker and have access to back episodes that non-subscribers cannot access. Also, subscribing is totally, totally free. Hit the subscribe button to see what you've been missing.
I'll Drink to That, where we get behind the scenes of the beverage business. I'm Levy Dalton.
I'm Erin Scala.
And here's our show today.
About 5 million years ago, the island of Crete rose up in the Mediterranean Sea, just south of the Peloponnesian Peninsula. It's a long island that stretches 160 miles east to west, and it's almost 40 miles wide at its widest point. The island is bisected lengthwise by a series of mountain ranges, which separate the southern Crete coast from the northern Crete coast. Annual winds that cross the island can create interesting climate situations. Zacharias Diamondakis of Diamondakis Winery describes the Meltemi wind that affects his vineyards.
Meltemi is the wind that we have, especially in summertime, especially in July. And all the Aegean, the island of Aegean Sea, they had Meltemia in Greek. Always in July we had this kind of wind. It's a wind that comes from the north. And here in Crete, we have the Meltemia, especially at the 2 or 3 weeks of July. And we have a lot of winds that comes from the Aegean, the breeze comes from the Aegean, and stops to the mountains, to the big mountains in Crete. Here in the big mountains, especially the big mountain Psilorites.
The wine regions thrive mostly on the northern coast, where the climate is more Mediterranean and great for grapes.
You know, here we're in Crete, so it's a hot, the summers are hot. So to have this kind of breeze in the summer, we have low temperatures, and that's important for our microclimate and all the terroirs that we have in our vineyards.
The island is enshrouded in myth. Zeus was supposedly born in a cave on Crete, and this is where the Minotaur lived in the labyrinth, and where Icarus and Daedalus took their ill-fated flight. Because of Crete's prime location in the Mediterranean, it's a perfect stopping point at the intersection of many seafaring crossroads. The island is a coveted place of real estate, and because of this, it's been overtaken by various groups throughout history. Early Paleolithic settlements date to over 100,000 years ago, which also indicates that people may have been seafaring longer than we thought. And 9 to 10,000 years ago, Neolithic groups grew domesticated food and herded animals. Then the mysterious Minoan civilization grew powerful and dominated this part of the Mediterranean. The Minoan Palace of Knossos is located near Crete's modern city of Heraklion, two thriving city centers, each reaching their zeniths several thousand years apart. The Minoan palace walls of Gnosis were high, and they wound through tight corridors as a safety measure to confuse would-be invaders. Archaeologists think that this wall structure inspired the Minotaur labyrinth legends. The Minoans participated in some sort of bull jumping game, made famous by frescoes depicting bull jumping scenes. Minoans also consumed and traded wine. Minoan expert George Spiridakis walked us through the Gnosis Palace, and we marveled at some of the pottery decorated with fingerprints, testaments to the craftsmanship that rose up around the thriving wine trade of Crete 4,000 to 5,000 years ago.
And this is where the wine, the olive oil, the wheat, the barley,
look
the
at
food,
that.
The figs.
The fingerprints.
What do you mean?
You still find this? You still find people making, using their fingers. And that's like probably the most 5,000-year-old fingerprints.
this was the idea of the potter, obviously. And not just this. Very often, you will see that pattern, which looks like a wave, but it was actually a snake in procession, because the snakes were sacred creatures, and they were sort of protecting the precious wine into it, or the precious olive oil. Sometimes you have also this design, and this is not so much decorated. Some others are more decorated than what you see here.
Okay.
Archaeologist Arthur Evans drove the efforts to unearth Gnosis, and he revealed some of the technical prowess of the ancient Minoans, including their intricate aqueduct, sewage, toilet, and drinking water piping systems.
We, the farmers, whenever we use our tractor for plowing the fields, we nonstop discover broken clay pipes that were carrying the waters safe and clean into the palace. And if you want, I can show you some original pipes later on, that Evans was able to number 23 hundreds of pipes supplying the palace and the bathtubs and the toilets with flushing system, with running, as well as the workshops.
Now, I understand why Evans was so dedicated now, because when you have to go to the bathroom for 30 years and you're looking for the toilet for 30 years,
not just
you
that.
Search very hard for the toilet. You know?
Remember that in the palace of Versailles in France, which is only 600 years old, there was no toilets.
No toilets, yeah. Well.
In their heyday, Minoans produced and traded wine with Egypt and dominated the wine market. Near Gnosis Palace, the world's oldest olive tree grows nearby. It dates to the Minoan period, and it still produces olives. After the volcanic explosion on Santorini, which is the world's fourth largest volcanic eruption that we know of in the history of Earth, the Minoans were overtaken by the Mycenaeans. Then the island switched to Roman rule, then Byzantine rule, then Venetian, Ottoman, and then Greek rule. Under Venetian rule, elaborate Venetian palaces and moats were built in the cities of Hania and Heraklion. Both cities still boast plenty of Venetian architecture that still stands strong today. The 20th century was tough for Crete, especially in the 1940s. They were devastated by World War II, when Crete was occupied by Nazis, who terrorized the locals with battles, executions, and mass killings. After the war, just as daily Cretan life was getting back on track, phylloxera struck in the 1970s and killed most of the vineyards on the island. Crete's wine scene has changed with each dominant civilization. But perhaps the biggest wine revolution is taking place right now. Before phylloxera hit, the wine on Crete was a traditional wine, oxidized, high alcohol, strong, and often sweet. It was made from mixed variety vineyards that were planted together, harvested together, and fermented together. Nikos Stoulifakis shares memories of this style of Cretan wine.
50 years ago, my grandfather and my father, they make wines from Liatiko, very high alcohol, 14, 15, 16 sometimes a little bit sweet, and with high oxidation. The traditional wines in Crete, high alcohol, oxidation, color orange, brown orange, and in the mouth very strong, very sometimes with acid, volatile. But now it's different, okay?
So there seems to have been a big change here.
It's a big change.
From like 50 years, yeah?
It's a big change, yes.
When phylloxera struck, many vineyards were lost, but Crete also had an opportunity to do a wine reset. And they replanted all of the vineyards differently. Initially, efforts went towards international varieties and high-yielding local grapes like Villana.
In Crete, the phylloxera came in 1970. And from 1970 to 1980, all the vineyards died. And after the new planting, unfortunately, the farmers, they make the bad selection clonal. They make the selection with the criteria, the big quantities. And some varieties, like Vidiano, Moscato, Plito, Daphne, they don't plant it. And they plant also only Villana for the whites.
Only Villana, which of course it was like a easy drinking white grape varieties.
But now Crete's wine scene is in a bit of a renaissance. A new generation of Greek winemakers has rediscovered the varieties of their parents and grandparents on old hillside vineyards that were spared from phylloxera. The enthusiasm for these grape varieties has really spread through the wine scene over the last 10 to 20 years, and we're seeing a resurgence of older Crete wine culture paired with more modern winemaking techniques. So instead of the oxidized high-alcohol wines of the 1960s and 70s that were made from mixed grape vineyards, people are now making dry whites, reds, and sparklings from these same varieties.
For me, I studied in Italy, I returned back. My father, I changed all the jobs. From the vineyards to the vinification, I changed all. For example, I make the new method of planting, Contro Spalliera, with double Guyot, okay? High plants for delayed the maturation, okay? Because in Crete we have the problem, the sugars go very fast and the phenols, the polyphenols, slowly, okay? In the vineyard. After I change all the part in the vinification, we put the new tanks, inox tanks, with the temperature control. We use the new barriques, new barrels. We change all the new people.
What does your dad think? What does your father think?
The first years, after my studies for 2-3 months, we don't talk together. It's very angry, very angry. But after he looked the positive of the production, and it's okay. Now it's okay.
And you hear similar generational winemaking shifts from many of the winemakers. Here's the take from Diamondakis.
What kind of wine did your father drink?
My father, the main local variety here was Liatico. Liatico was the grape that we are at the PDO Daphnes area. So the main local grape that all the farmers and the wine growers that they cultivated was Liatico. Liatico is a very, very important grape here in the area. All the farmers, they have a small part of vineyard with Liatico, and they make their own wine. And this is the wine that my father drinks. We have some vineyards of Liatico. Now we have an amount that we make some distillates from Liatico. But in the future, we want to make some wine, some red dry wines or sweet and sweet wines, because it is both. I think we think it's very, very, Liatico makes some very, very nice both sweet and dry wines. So in the future, we want to make some wines from Liatico.
From what I understand, like, it seems to me like Liatico's here, always has been, always will be. Everybody likes it, but it doesn't seem exciting. But it's like Vidiano seems exciting.
Yes.
Cotivali, Syrah, they seem exciting. So yes. It seems like everybody's like excited about
The new.
Yeah. But everybody's also like Liatico. It's here too. It's like always in the background.
Yes, Vidiano, it's something new. You know, it is an unsweet variety, Vidiano, but only the last 10-15 years, the winemakers, we discovered that it's very nice, very important, very very interesting variety. So so we have to play with Vidiano. And this is the reason that now in Crete you can find all the, we are about in the association about 30 wineries at the association, and you will find maybe 20 different labels of Vidiano. It's very important. Only single Vidiano and some other with blends, as Vidiano Assyrtiko or Vidiano with maybe Chardonnay, maybe some international. So Vidiano is something new, something that came to us the last 15 years. People start to drink more white wine because of the hot summers, and I think the new generation of drinkers start to drink to be excited a lot about the new whites, you know, like Vidiano.
Personally, I was enchanted by the Vidiano grape. This variety was almost extinct, but it grew in old mixed vineyards. Nikos Doulafakis makes extraordinary Vidiano.
Vidiano, because for me, is the best variety in Crete, because you can make different types of wine, but the power of Vidiano is the, in Daphnes, in my village, is the body, it's full body wine. And you can aging the wine and drink it after 3-4 years. And I have one vineyard 6 meters high altitude, and I make the sparkling. So I make sparkling, still the tank, the entry level Vidiano, and the fermentation in oak barrel. And I make the experiment with the fermentation in amphora, terracotta, natural wine, orange. So Vidiano is an interesting variety, it's difficult to growing. Vidiano preferred not so rich soil, because the grape is big, and sometimes, mostly when the vineyards are young, the production is high. But after 5-6 years, the vineyards regulate, and the production is more equilibrated. Yes, the Vidiano like the sun. Sometimes it's good to take a little sun, and the grape is yellow. In Daphnes, we have the maturation of Vidiano in the last of August.
Every single winery produces at least two kinds of Vidiano, two different labels of Vidiano.
All of the wineries, most of the wineries you can see, as we told you, like we told yesterday, it's like everybody makes some Vidiano. It's like.
But it wasn't always this way. Yanis Stylianou remembers tasting grapes from the old mixed vineyards he grew up working in.
Here in Crete, it's many years ago, it's many, many varieties, different varieties. It's only indigenous varieties. Yeah. But after the phylloxera, many vineyards destroyed and put olives.
Yeah. Oh, olives. Mm-hmm. Okay, so your Vidiano vines are
16 years. 17.
And what made you want to plant Vidiano? Because it wasn't popular back then.
No, I tried the Vidiano. I have Vidiano many, many years ago.
Mm-hmm. When?
In the farm. I have the traditional vineyard.
Oh, yeah?
Many years ago, it's blended. Mm-hmm. It's not just one variety. In one vineyard, it's both Vidiano, Villana, Trapsathiri, it's all mixed. I make just one harvest all together. Mm-hmm. Non different, make three different wines, and after make one blend. I have just one white. This is the blend in the vineyard. It's one harvest all together.
Yanis has a really neat approach. He grew up sampling and tasting local mixed vineyards, then used for oxidized, powerful wines. And so today he makes an organic dry white blend, but from the same grapes. He planted his vines and took the indigenous approach long before the recent Vidiano and Thrapsothyrri craze. So in a way, he probably helped shape and inspire the new appreciation for Vidiano and the growing love of Thrapsothyrri.
And what's Thrapsothyrri?
The next diva of Crete, after 10 years, yeah. It's the Thrapsothyrri.
The name of the winery is Nikos Paraskevas. It's a small winery in the region of Malevizi. And τι άλλο?
Είμαστε στο ορεινό Μαλεβίζι, περιοχή του ορεινού.
At the mountainous Malevizi region.
Okay. Yeah. Αυτό.
Yeah, okay.
Ναι.
Ναι,
εγώ πιστεύω στο Βιδιανό σαν επιχειρία.
He believes at the Vidiano variety as a grape.
Και τα περισσότερα μου αμπέλια που φύτεψα εγώ είναι Βιδιανά.
Most of the vines I've planted are Vidianos.
When did you plant? When did you start planting? How old are your vines?
Τα αμπέλια μου τα φύτεψα πριν από 8 χρόνια περίπου.
8 years ago I started planting the vines. Yes.
Where did you hear about it?
Πώς και το άκουσα. Εμείς ασχολιέμαι με την παραγωγή τσικουδιάς. Πες μου.
Okay. He deals with τσικουδιά, ράκι, a lot of years, πολλά χρόνια.
Πάνω από 40 χρόνια, οικογενειακή επιχείρηση.
They had a family business regarding ράκι, τσικουδιά, for 40 years. So they knew the grapes. But there was distillation of the grapes. Τσικουδιά is distillating the grape.
So, was Vidiano more popular for Τσικουδιά in the past?
Αν ήταν πιο διάσημο το Βιδιανό για Τσικουδιά.
Όχι.
No.
Όχι. Σαν κρασί, έβλεπα από κοντά τις ποικιλίες που ερχόταν και τις βγάζαμε Τσικουδιά. Που αγοράζαμε σαν οικογενειακό τοπίο.
Due to the fact that they dealt with Τσικουδιά distillation, grape distillation, that's why he knew the grapes and he was he collected different grape varieties and he saw something in Vidiano.
Ναι, είδα ότι ερχόταν παραγωγή από αμπέλια που είχαν φυτέψει πολλά χρόνια πριν και ναι, Vidiano, πολλά χρόνια πριν προϋπήρχαν. Και είδα ότι κάποιες σταφύλια ξεχώριζαν. Μέσα από αυτό που ξεχώριζαν τα σταφύλια ήταν τα Βιδιανά.
So he observed that most of the people that were bringing a different kind of grapes, he started noticing that Vidiano gave more aromas and was more special than the other ones.
And we find the plants of Vidiano inside the old vineyards with Villan and other varieties white, because in the past the old vineyards the vineyards have inside many varieties, but more Villana and some plants of Vidiano and other varieties. We see this grape, and we make the new planting in 1992.
And by rebirth of Vidiano, they saw that we have a local grape variety that that it can give so much more comparing, of course, to Villana. And people are starting comparing it with other grape varieties, like some they say, oh, it's like Viognier because it has this tropical thing. But I think Vidiano is like on its own. It must not be compared with any other grape variety.
Where are you selecting from? What made you pick your selections?
From old vineyards in Daphnes, but mostly in the south part of the central Crete, Erethymno, on the mountains, because the old vineyards on the mountains, they don't have phylloxera. Now they have, but in 1990, no. And we send Barbatella. The plant, the young plants,
oh,
and they make the nest, We take the first plant, we take the first vineyards, and after we make the multiplication.
Anthony Starakis has a few thoughts on Vidiano.
Vidiano is becoming more popular, and of course, the most of the vineyards that are planted, they're not that old. So still, the potential of the grape variety is not 100% there until like they get at least 15, 20 years. Like most of the people think there is big potential in this grape variety.
On a wine map of Crete, you'll see five PDOs, or major wine regions. But a more simplified geographic explanation splits the island into thirds. Most of the winemaking is happening in and around Heraklion, in the center of the island. To the west, you have producers like Manouzakis, making distinct wines from vineyards perched on the dramatically inclined mountains that rise and tower over the city of Hania. And to the east, you have producers in and around the city of Sitia, making wines as well. We drove out to Toplu Monastery, near Sitia. Endless bushes of wild thyme spotted the sides of the road, just to give you an idea of the Garrigue-like environment. The monastery has been there since the 1400s, but it's been through various rebuilds. The monastery has played a big part in the various transfers of powers of the different groups that have taken over Crete over the centuries. And more recently, during World War II, it housed a secret radio station and passageway. But when this was discovered by the Nazis, the abbot of that day and two monks were killed. Today, the monastery has a really peaceful, happy feel to it. It houses various relics and important texts. And the current abbot, Philotheos Spanoudakis, he watches over the monastery and runs the wine program. He grew up on farms and loves plants and animals, and it was under his direction that viticulture flourished around the monastery. He started selling wine from the monastery in 1999. We visited Abbot Philotheos' study, and we sat down with him to learn about his wine program. One wall was packed with books, and the other had two tables. It looked like one was for eating, and the other was for studying. Sunlight streamed in beams through tall windows in the wall, and bees buzzed in the chimney. The abbot tinkered over a small stove and made us coffees. Our friend John, a viticulturist on Crete, helped translate.
How long have they been making wine at this monastery? Since the beginning?
Κρασί κάνουμε από νέα, τώρα και αιώνες. Αλλά για τις ανάγκες του μοναστηριού. Τότε δεν, παλιά δεν υπήρχε η εμπορία του κρασιού. Γιατί όλος ο κόσμος, δηλαδή στις, μέχρι το 1900.
Of the history of the monastery, they doing wine, but not to export, only for the. Yes. And after 2004, for export. And,
The monastery is near a significant ancient compound, and the abbot rebuilt by hand this ancient compound and discovered a very old wine press. It was a rectangular stone trough for foot stomping, and the juice streamed out a spout on one side.
Έχει πολλά κρασιά. Και μάλιστα κάτω, στο βάη, σε ένα μετόχι που έχουμε εκεί, υπάρχει ένα παλιό πατητήρι που είναι από το 1709, έχει επιγραφή απάνω.
An old press from 1,500 years after Jesus.
Και από πληροφορίες που είχα από τους παλιούς καλογέρους, έβγαζε από εκεί, από το μετόχι αυτό, 14 χιλιάδες σοκάδες κρασί. 14 τόνους, δηλαδή.
Press. Δηλαδή, the press is very old there.
Έτσι, δηλαδή, πάντα το μοναστήρι είχε ασχολία με αμπέλ και από το 2004 περίπου ξεκίνησαμε το εινοπείο που θα επισκεφτούμε σε λίγο και κάνουμε έτσι πιο οργανωμένη καλλιέργεια του αμπελιού.
2004, the wine making is more new and better and it's, the winery is very new and has a lot of good machines, so make a better job with the wines.
Όλες οι καλλιέργειες που κάνουμε εδώ στο μοναστήρι είναι βιολογικές και οι ελιές και τα μπέλια δεν χρησιμοποιούμε ούτε χημικά λιπάσματα, ούτε φάρμακα, ας πούμε, δηλητήρια, αλλά μόνο οργανικά.
The vegetables on the trees is an organic cultivation. all is by nature.
Και το σπουδαίο ήταν ότι μας άφηνε σε χλώρο κλάδι επάνω, δηλαδή συνέχεια μας είχε το πρόγραμμα στη δουλειά, το ένα το άλλο, και δεν μας άφηνε άλλη περτού. Και έτσι δηλαδή μας έκαμε να αγαπούμε, ας πούμε. Εγώ τρελαίνω τις καλλιέργειες όλες. Μ' αρέσει.
Young boy, his father, he's putting all the time inside the farms and he's working in the farms, so he loved very much the farms and to cultivate. So even though he's a monk, he helps the people to everything inside the vineyards and the fields.
Μετά σιγά σιγά με την εμπειρία αυτή, ας πούμε, από αυτά σε γνώσεις.
We saw his vineyard work firsthand when he took us to visit some of the surrounding vineyards. The abbot has a big presence, and he has these tremendous hands. And when a cane shoot stuck out into the path, he pruned it with one twist of the wrist. If I were pruning that particular piece of wood, I would have needed clippers. But he seemed to really have a mastery of the plants. This part of the island farms a little differently than the rest of Crete.
A lot of different techniques, because it's a very different climate and very different terroirs around the island. This special terroir of the monastery has many benefits from the wind. Other parts, other vineyards inside the island, it's have a problem with no blows and no has a lot of high temperature, high humidity, and it's problem. For example, canopy management, it's very different. Inside,
Οι ερυθρέες πιτσιλίες είναι το βασικό, το λιάτικο που είναι η καθεαυτή πιτσιλία της περιοχής, η οποία βγάζει ένα θαυμάσιο γλυκό κρασί και μπορεί βέβαια και...
The sweet wines from Lyatico you have tasted.
Και κρασί, ας πούμε, για το φαγητό.
Toplu Monastery makes a sweet sun-dried wine from Lyatico. Lyatico is an important grape variety in Crete.
Lyatico, it's something, it was like a rustic, you know, like something like very, very common. But I think, in my opinion, we have to work with Lyatico a lot, to work with the vineyards, to work with the vinifications. It's difficult to vinificate Lyatico, but and we think that in the future we'll have great wines from Lyatico, especially some aged wines.
Okay, Lyatico is the oldest history in here in Crete and in Daphnes, the village. Maybe is the oldest variety in Crete. We found the Lyatico in the Venetian epoch, and my father worked with Lyatico a lot. For example, my father in 1960 he make also Lyatico, nothing else, and another white variety, Villana, and. It's very good variety, but it's very difficult. And the wine producers here, they don't like work with Lyatico because the variety don't have a good color. But when I come from my studies in Italy, is the first I plant the first variety Lyatico in 19. My father planting in 1985 the first, and after 1992. I plant the first my Lyatico, and then last year and this year I plant the first clone. Okay, Lyatico is variety we don't cut the green part of the plant because it's very sensible, and it's not so. Yes, it's not so vigorous, and it's very. And for the Lyatico, we need the low production grapes with good color, okay. And in the vineyards now, in the old vineyards now, I make two harvests. The first harvest, I take the best grapes, because we have some clones with very, very bad color, like white. And the first time I take the very good grapes, I make the Daphnios, And the second harvest after 10 days, the other part, I make other wines.
It's likely indigenous to the island, and it's been around for generations. In Sitia, some producers like to blend in Mandalaria to add color to what can sometimes be a paler wine. But even paler than the Atico is the Kotsifali grape. The closest thing that comes to mind, to put its characteristics in context, is Pulsard. It's lighter in color but full of concentration and texture. The aromas are like a blend of berry fruits and dusty earthiness. The Kotsifali wines always stood out to me for their uniqueness and character.
And I make also now experiments with Kotsifali, because Kotsifali is very good variety, but now I don't have 100% Kotsifali, but in the future I think I want to make it Kotsifali and Mandalari. And Mandalari is very good, but Kotsifali alone and Mandalari alone.
Nikos Kavalas blends the two. Here are his thoughts, translated by Stella Astirakaki.
Εδώ, εμείς,
στην περιοχή.
Στην περιοχή
we have Kotsifali and Mandalari are the only indigenous grape varieties that they have in this area. Kotsifali and Mandalari.
Και πρέπει να δώσουμε πάρα πολύ μεγάλη προσοχή σε αυτές τις δύο ποικιλίες, να τις αναδείξουμε πάρα πολύ και να ανεβάσουμε πάρα πολύ ποιότητα.
And we need to give more importance to those two varieties and in order to give them a boost and raise the quality, make better products like from those two varieties, Kotsifali and Mandalari of the area.
Γιατί αυτές οι ποικιλίες είναι εδώ πάρα πολλά χρόνια φυτεμένες σε αυτό το μέρος.
Because those two grape varieties are way back planted here, way back before Phylloxera.
There are just so many special grape varieties on Crete. Another unique one is Malvasia decandia.
And how common is Malvasia aromatica?
How common?
Yeah.
Not a lot. We have two different clones of Malvasia here in Crete, Malvasia decandia and Malvasia decandia aromatica. Malvasia decandia usually used for a little sweeter or semi-sweet wines. Malvasia decandia aromatica gives this very, very floral character.
So the word candia is the Venetian word for Crete.
Malvasia have a big history here in Crete. Now we are in Malvasia region. And when I studied in Italy, in the Abelography book, I see the variety Malvasia decandia aromatica and the history say from Crete. I plant this variety. I come back and I buy the plants from Italy. It's Malvasia decandia aromatica from Italy, but the origin is from Crete.
And at every turn, another important indigenous variety popped up.
I'm Bart Lirarakis. I work for the Lirarakis winery, the family winery.
I heard that you make one of the only 100% Pleto.
Yeah, that is true. It's a grape that was almost extinct. It was resurrected. It was replanted almost 30 years ago by my father and my uncle. It's a grape that was almost extinct because it's very prone to diseases. It has a very compact bunch of grapes, so every berry.
And why do you choose to work with it so much? Just love it?
Found it, okay, the second generation found it. My father chose for it because he remembered what it tasted like as a grape and they wanted to try it as a wine.
Cool.
Back then they had French grapes in the vineyard. We have a family vineyard in front of the cellar and it was planted with Sauvignon Blanc. So they replanted all of it because they saw everybody was just using Sauvignon Blanc and they used the local grape, diversified, basically.
Cool.
And it worked in the end.
That's really special. Mm-hmm. I really like the Pleto today.
It was very good. It's a very aesthetic, aromatic grape. It is. It doesn't give wines that are very thick, you know. But
yeah.
Especially this year, we try to have a harvest in three different periods. So, one where it was let's say, unripe, one where it was a maturity and one after. And the blend of the three gave us a much more complex result.
Okay, so my name is Marietta Milaki. I'm an enologist and winemaker. I studied wine in Bordeaux. And I'm in Roos Winery, which is a family winery. It started by my parents some years ago. And like 4 years ago, my husband Dimitris and I, we're both enologists, we met in Bordeaux, and we took over the family domain. So we're sort of trying to make wine together, vinify together. And our goal is to invest on local varieties, but try to get the most of the best expression of our terroir, and to make contemporary and authentic wines out of local varieties. That's our goal, in fact.
So you're both enologists.
Yes.
What do you fight about? Are you like, if this pH is lower?
In fact, we have decided that we're going to separate our roles inside the winery, as otherwise it's not going to work. So yes, we're both enologists. Dimitris is engineer, agronomist, and enologist. I studied biology and then enology. But today, Dimitris is responsible for the production, so he's the official winemaker, let's say. We blend together. For the blendings where we decide as a group, but otherwise he's responsible for the winemaker. I'm more out for the exports, for the communication, PR, etc., so marketing. So we have decided to separate because otherwise
too many enologists in the kitchen.
Yes, plus my father is an enologist and we are all enologists.
Oh my gosh.
My family is one of the first ones that tried to revive old Greek varieties that were somehow lost, such as Vigiano. So they planted different varieties. They did a lot of experimental winemaking. And from those experimental winemakings came the blend of Vigiano with Plitot, which is today's Skipper. At the very beginning, they thought it was a very nice blend, and they put it in the market under the name of Vigiano Plitot Tamiolakis. They had the name of the family at that time. It became the most representative wine of the family because it was maybe the first Vigiano, because it was very different blending at that time. So it became very representative of the winery. And some years ago, when Dimitris and I took over, we decided that we're going to give it the name of Skipper because it was somehow already the captain of the winery. So it took the name of Skipper. It's still, we are, as far as I know, we are the only winery that still has this blending of Vigiano and Plitot, so it's sort of unique of ours. So it became the most unique wine of the winery.
In particular, around Hania, there isn't nearly as much production as there is near Heraklion, but Hania is still an important hub. The horses, the harbor, the charming streets, the ancient Venetian palace, and the mountains that are so close yet seem so far away. Hania attracts tourists, and this is where many people from outside of Crete come into contact with Cretan wine.
Tourism is very, very strong, and we are having... Yeah. And I think that Hania specifically is getting more strong every day. And it's pretty beautiful here.
The thriving oceanside restaurant scene supports some of the local wine industry, and the nightlife is pretty happening also. Nearby, Menouzaki's Winery produces a lot of wine that you can find outside of Greece. Menouzaki's works with several Mediterranean varieties, including Grenache, Syrah, and Roussan. The Roussan is a calling card for the winery, but they also make local varieties from the unique Muscat of Spinas grape and, of course, Vidiano. The island of Crete is at a fascinating juncture of its wine story. This place has some of the oldest winemaking history in the world. Imagine a place with 4,000 years of winemaking history that boasts olive trees of nearly that age. The various twists and turns have taken the island's wine industry from an ancient time when amphoras were zipping around the Mediterranean in long ships to a phylloxera crisis that spurred an injection of international varieties to this moment when all eyes are turning to some of the nearly lost indigenous varieties that have so much to offer. If I could leave you with a single word, it would be Yamas. What's Yamas?
Yamas means to be to our health. To be to Yamas is the word that we say when we drink a glass of wine.
Yeah.
And Yamas means always to be healthy, to be fun, to be always happy. And Yamas.
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 Something a lot of people from outside that island don't realize is that when the Turks ruled Crete, they renamed the population there with the suffix Akis. For this reason, there are many people on Crete today whose family name ends in Akis, as you'll hear as I give thanks to Nikos Doulafakis, Antonis Dourakis, Zacharias Diamondakis, George Spyriadakis, Nikos Karavitakis, Bart Liriorakis, John Masoutis, Yanis Stylianou, Nikos Paraskevis, Stella Astiaraki, Ashvin Malavi, Nikos Gavalas, Abbot Philotheos Spanoudakis, and Maria Tamiolakis for their helpful introduction to Crete and also to Wines of Crete for making this episode possible. Go to winesofcrete.gr, that's winesofcrete.gr, for more information, including a really great map of Crete on that website that you can check out if you're curious to know more about Crete. I'd also like to mention that this episode was composed and narrated by the great Aaron Scala. We have show t-shirts, bags, and coffee mugs available. If you'd like to wear what you hear, go to alldrinktothatpod.com, that's ILL, drinktothatpod.com, and hit the t-shirts tab. And you'll see our full selection of All Drink to That shirts, sweaters, bags, cups, and prints, all of that in a range of sizes, colors, and styles. Check them out on the alldrinktothatpod.com website.